This reading comes from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Amen. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You know, we get the don't worry. We forget about the don't pray. Then we wonder about where's the peace. And so it's kind of a formula, and it works out really well if we remember to do it in the midst of all that. So good morning. Welcome once again to the Living Water Church. You know, today we're continuing this sermon series we've started called Escaping Temptation. So if you haven't yet, go ahead and grab your message notes and so you can follow along. And during this series, we're tackling some of the most common and most destructive temptations that we face in life. And when we're talking about temptation, remember that being tempted isn't a sin. You know, we're all tempted every day from different directions. Even Jesus was tempted. But here's the thing. If we're going to learn how to deal with and escape these temptations so that we don't give into it, then we need to understand how he gives us the escape. Because if we don't and we give in, that ends up pulling us away from God. And so our key verse for this teaching series we've found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where it says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. You know, sometimes we think, I am the only one who has ever gone through what I'm going through. It's not true. You know, other people have faced this, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. And as I said last week, this gives us our escaping temptation principle, that God offers a way out of every temptation I face. Temptation is powerful, but God is much more powerful. And God loves you, and God wants to see the very best for your life. And so it's important for each of us to understand that for every temptation that the devil throws at us or our sinful nature tries to lead us into, that God is going to provide an escape. If you know it deep down inside of you, then you can look for it when it comes your way. So today I want to look at probably one of the most common temptations that we face, and that we need to learn how to defeat each and every day, and that's the temptation of anxiety. As you look down through history, you see that we've lived through many different ages. For instance, there was the age of explorers, where explorers just went across the ocean to find new lands. Then we had the age of enlightenment, where we've fostered new ways of thinking about humankind and our pursuit of knowledge. Then there was the age of revolution, where people began to yearn for freedom and new nations began to be formed like our own. And then for the last 50 years, we've been in the information age, with the advent of computers and internet and all the information that's available to anybody who wants to go get it. And this has led directly to what can be called the age of screens, where we spend on average 7 hours a day just looking at screens. And if someone came up to me and asked me, okay, what today, right now, would you say defines our generation and our culture right now? What age are we in right now? And I would say we're in the age of anxiety. Anxiety disorders now affect 1 out of 3 teenagers. Statistics show that before 2009, 1 out of every 3 college students who went to visit their college counselor did so because they cited anxiety as their main problem. Now, that's a lot. But by 2020, the percentage has now jumped to over 50% of college students who go to talk to their counselor do so because of anxiety issues. The American Psychological Association has declared that anxiety is a national mental health crisis. We're living in the age of anxiety. Now, I think there are many contributing factors to why we're seeing this. I mean, certainly there's the impact of the COVID pandemic that we went through, and then there's social media and that bombards us with peer pressure and just points out everything that's not perfect about our own lives. Then we have the political upheaval and the constant spinning of negativity from news sources. And these are just a few of the things causing anxiety in our society. But there's actually a more profound theological reason for all of the anxiety that we experience. Because we're made in God's image. And because of this, we can see the brokenness of our world. We can just see how messed up things are. But because we're limited, we're kind of stuck in the messiness of this world, feeling powerless to change it. So on one hand, we see the problems, we see the mess, but on the other hand, we can't even fix the small problems in our lives, let alone fix the big problems of the world. And that tension is why we're tempted to be anxious all the time. Now, anxiety can be a rather complex spiritual issue. Because on the one hand, you might ask, is anxiety a sin? Well, to be specific and precise, the answer is, it can be, sometimes. So we're going to look at that. Because it's not always a sin, but sometimes it is. And then we're going to look at, you know, how about anxiety disorders? That's a serious issue, and we're going to touch on that a little bit as well. But before we can escape anxiety, the first thing we need to do is understand biblically the root causes of anxiety in our own lives. We just need to look at a godly perspective of this. And that's what King David had in Psalm 139. King David was the king who seemed to have it all together, and yet he dealt with some anxiety. And so look at what he prayed in Psalm 139, verse 23. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my," what? "My anxious thoughts." Underline that phrase. Anxious thoughts. David was a guy who dealt with some anxiety. When you read the Psalms and you read more about David's story in the Old Testament, you see that there was just a lot of pressure and a lot of problems that he dealt with. David had anxiety about his family. He had anxiety about his job, anxiety about people who were trying to do him harm. And a lot of it was caused by some dumb decisions that he made in life. Kind of sounds like a lot of our anxieties, doesn't it? Because just like David, you know, we are tempted to be anxious and to allow those anxieties to push us further from God and his will for us. Just the same way as it did for David. And so that's why David prayed, "God, show me what's going on with my anxious thoughts. Show me why I'm anxious right now and how I can get out of it." And so as we begin today, why don't we just pray that prayer? Just in your own heart and mind, just in your own spirit, say, "God, show me the source of my anxious thoughts." If you're dealing with anxiety right now, and I know a lot of us are, then pray that prayer, "God, show me the source of my anxiety." Okay, so let's go ahead and dive into understanding from a biblical view the four main causes of our anxiety. And as we look at these causes, see if you can identify if any of these sources of anxiety are your main cause of anxiety right now. Here's the first one, the fallen state of our world. The Bible says that when God created the world, he finished and said it was good, and it was good. There was no anxiety on earth after God created it because everything was perfect. But when Adam and Eve chose sin, the Bible says that that sin broke their relationship and our relationship with God. It also broke our relationship with other people. Sin caused disease and conflict and death to impact us. And so sin and our sinful choices are the reason there's so much brokenness today. It's why we argue. It's why we fight. It's why nations go to war. And when we look around, we see all the problems. We see how fast life goes by and how imminent death is. It's easy to be overwhelmed and become anxious. And so we're tempted, even as Christians, to kind of act like atheists and forget that God is in control. We forget that God is bigger than the problems we face. But our fallen world tempts us to be anxious. But that's not the only cause. Another root cause of anxiety is the future is uncertain. Now, this is an anxiety about the unknown of things we can't see, the things that we can't control. It's anxiety of what might happen to me in the future, and even what happens to me after death. And so we often have anxiety over things like, am I going to have enough money to pay my bills in this struggling economy? Am I going to get cancer like one of my relatives did? How am I going to put food on the table? How am I going to pay the mortgage payment or the rent this month? You know, are my kids going to be okay? Is this new job going to work out? The temptation to be anxious about the future is so common, and it is so incapacitating. But I want you to notice what Jesus says about anxiety that you and I face about the future. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus says, "So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the future, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." So Jesus says, you know, life isn't easy. Today has enough problems of its own, so don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Live one day at a time. So here's the third cause of anxiety: the futility of living without purpose. This is when we don't know the answer to life's most important questions. Questions like, who am I and why am I here? What am I supposed to do with my life? When we don't know the answers to those questions and we don't know where to look, that can cause anxiety in us. So you have to remember that God created you and that He has a plan for you. He has this incredible purpose for your life. So you don't have to be anxious about this one. He will lay it out one step at a time as it comes. And then one other cause of anxiety that trips us up is the fallout of my sinful choices. And this is a big one. You know, the fallout of my sinful choices. Anxiety can be the natural cause of my own really bad decisions. Because, you know, if you cheat on your spouse, you're going to be anxious about getting caught, and you're going to be anxious about your family falling apart. If you gamble away your money, you're going to be anxious about how am I going to pay my bills. You're going to be anxious about how am I even going to be moving forward after this. If you lie to your boss about your work, you're going to be anxious about your boss finding out and about potentially losing your job. In all these cases, anxiety is the direct result of sin. So don't miss this. Sin in your life always leads to some kind of anxiety. Now, what's interesting is that God uses the anxiety to make you miserable enough to say, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to feel this anxiety anymore. So I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to make better decisions moving forward. And so let me ask you, if you're dealing with anxiety right now, you know, what would you pinpoint as the main source of your anxiety? What's causing you to give in to this temptation? And I want to show you from God's Word, no matter what the cause is of or the source of your anxiety, you can escape this temptation. And so just like anger we talked about last week, there are various degrees of anxiety that we deal with. So we're going to look at four different levels of anxiety and God's biblical way out of each one of those. And so here's the first one, kind of the lowest level of anxiety. This is level one, and that is to develop godly skills to escape everyday anxiety. It's just level one. Develop godly skills to escape everyday anxiety. The first level of anxiety is the things that we just call everyday anxiety. These are the things that you're tempted to feel just in the everyday rhythm of life. These are the tensions that we wrestle with many times daily or weekly basis. It's the anxiety that you're feeling when you have this busy, stressful week and you just kind of feel overwhelmed by it. It's the anxiety if you're in school of a big test or a big paper that's due and a lot's riding on it. It's the anxiety of having to lead a big meeting and it needs to go really well and you can't blow it, and so you're feeling that in you. Now, these aren't life-altering events. that just come around maybe once in a while. But if you don't learn how to deal with these everyday anxieties, no matter who you are, no matter what job you have, no matter what stage of life you're in, if you don't learn how to deal with these anxieties, they can compound and they can lead to deeper levels of anxiety. And this can lead to stress. And these smaller anxieties, they can lead to exhaustion. And then you become more irritable and you become more impatient. And you find yourself going home and taking that out on your spouse or your kids or out on a pet. And now your marriage is starting to deteriorate. It's a compounding problem if it's not dealt with in a healthy way. And now you're at a deeper level of anxiety. So the key is to develop godly skills to deal with these everyday anxieties so they don't end up ballooning and becoming a bigger problem. Now, what do I mean by developing godly skills? Well, just on a practical level, sometimes combating anxiety is a matter of developing some new life skills. You know, just be able to manage life better. If you get anxious every time you have a busy week, then maybe you need to learn some management skills to help you manage that better. Or maybe if you're a procrastinator, you need to learn how to plan ahead more and some key skills to stop procrastinating. If you're always anxious about the next test, if you're in school, maybe you need to develop some studying skills or memorization skills or ways to better prepare beforehand. These are just some easy life skills that are helpful for these level one anxieties. But here's what I want you to see. God's ultimate solution for your everyday anxieties, it's something more foundational. And we just heard it read for us from Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. And this is God's solution for everyday anxieties of life. And so let's look at that verse again. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, what? Pray. Circle that word pray in that verse. He says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience God's, what is it? Peace. So we said that pray. And then peace. Circle that word peace. You pray, then you get peace. He says you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God's antidote for everyday anxieties is prayer. Now, prayer and worry have a lot in common because they're both focused on thinking about something. All right? Prayer and worry. Both worry and prayer, they're both focused thinking. Worry is focused thinking about a problem. The problem is consuming my thoughts. But prayer is focused thinking on God's providence and on His power and on Him. Worry is focusing on limitation. But prayer is focused on the fact that God is limitless. And so whenever you feel anxiety creeping in, you have a choice. You can focus on the problem and how I don't know how to fix that problem and I don't have the resources to fix that problem, or I'm going to focus on God and what God can do to fix that problem and that He has all the resources available to us. Okay? So I can worry or I can pray. I can pray or I can worry, but I can't do both at the very same time. So notice what the verse says from Philippians. Whatever you choose to focus your thoughts on is going to determine whether you have peace every day or whether you have anxiety in your life. Focusing on the problem leads to worry, which causes anxiety, but prayer focuses on God and brings His peace. And the truth is, if we pray more, we will have less anxiety. And here's the painful truth. Many of our level one anxieties wouldn't even exist if we would begin every day in prayer and in trusting in God's provisions. If you begin every day in prayer, give those anxieties to God, give those worries to Him, and receive His peace, and trust that He's got it, Now that you've given it to him, you know, you don't give that issue to God and then take it back so you end up worrying about it, but instead you give it to him and you trust that he's going to take care of it in his way, in his timing. Then the temptation I have in this level one security, when it comes, it's not going to trip you up. Because you've already decided that you're going to trust God with all these things before they even happen. So to escape level one anxiety, develop godly skills, including daily prayer. You know, it'd be great if all our anxieties just were on that level one, level. But they don't. And so God's way for the next level of anxiety, back to your notes, level two, is to depend on God's power to escape elevated anxiety. Depend upon God's power to escape elevated anxiety. Now, level two is when you're tempted to have anxiety over the bigger issues in life. Like maybe a surprise bill pops up and you just have no idea how you're going to pay for that. You know, or maybe there's this ongoing problem in your marriage and it's causing a lot of fights and it's really pulling at the fabric of your marriage. Maybe it could be layoffs are happening at work and your team is behind on their projections and you're kind of just freaking out about what's going to end up happening and you're losing sleep. You're feeling on edge. Could be in your dating relationship and it just came to an end and your heart is broken and you're worried and you're feeling anxious about being alone. Level two is when your anxiety begins to have a noticeable impact on your sleep, on your work, on your relationships, on your family. So let me just be transparent just for a moment. You know, even as a pastor, I have struggled with elevating anxiety from time to time. Now, most of the times I'm able to take that to God and trust him with them. And I tend to sleep really great when every night God has blessed me with that. But I remember a few times in my life when I went through some painful experiences in my personal life, at the same time when my work in the ministry was also really stressful, and instead of trusting God with it, I took all those problems on my own shoulders and I let anxiety get the best of me. And for several months, I couldn't sleep well. And I would put those things and I just try to set them out of my mind, but every time they just came back and I just couldn't get them out and I'd replay them over and over and over again and I would toss and turn as I tried to sleep and that caused some acid reflux issues and my stomach would hurt when I'd get up and I was exhausted, but as I wasn't getting a good enough sleep and it made the situation feel so helpless, and I was irritable, affected my relationships with others. Really, it robbed my life of joy, and so what did I do? I eventually took God's way out for my elevated anxiety. And we find this in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, Jesus is teaching this large group of people who, like you and me, were dealing with some elevated anxiety in their life. They were worried about how they were going to provide for their families. And their anxiety was tempting them to sin by not trusting God. And here's Jesus' words to them and to us today from Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 31. Jesus says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What shall we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs." And so don't miss this. Anxiety is not always a sin, but sometimes anxiety can be a sinful refusal to trust God. Your anxiety might be a sign that you're not trusting God with these important areas of your life. And so Jesus says, when you don't trust God, you know what you're doing. You're basically acting like an atheist. You're acting like you don't even believe I exist. And so how do we escape this temptation to worry and not to trust God? Well, he tells us at the last part of this passage, Jesus says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Jesus says the key to escaping these level two anxieties is to put God first in your life, to trust that God loves you and that he's going to provide everything that you need. And there are times, even as a pastor, where I need to be reminded that I can trust God with the big things and the small things of life. That God is God, and I am not, and I can give him my anxiety. And this is important, because if you're dealing with elevated anxiety in your life on a regular basis, it probably is then a sign that you're not trusting God like you should. And you don't have to carry these heavy anxieties. God loves you. He doesn't want you to live under that level 2 anxiety. In fact, look at what 1 Peter 5:7 says. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And so one of the next steps on your connection card, if you take that out and you look on the back of it, it says to turn to God for peace and strength when I feel anxious. And if you're dealing with that level 2 anxiety, I hope that's what you'll do, that you'll check that next step on your connection card, and I will be praying for you this week. Now, the next level of anxiety can be the most difficult level. When you find yourself dealing with level 3 anxiety, the answer out of this is to decide to seek godly counsel to escape extreme anxiety. Decide to seek godly counsel to escape extreme anxiety. For some people, anxiety is more than just elevated. It really becomes a debilitating disorder. And it can show itself in different ways, like fear and avoidance of places or situations that might cause you to start to panic. You know, maybe you're in a situation and you just feel trapped, you feel helpless or embarrassed. It could be excessive anxiety, even over routine activities where worry is just difficult to control and it affects how you feel emotionally and physically. When you're at this level of anxiety, it becomes something that's just constant. And it shows itself in intense panic attacks and specific phobias and even other ways. And unfortunately, anxiety disorders are the number one mental health issue in the United States. It affects over 40 million adults. That's 20% of our population in the United States. 1 out of 5 people is struggling with anxiety disorders every year. That's a huge number. Now, sadly, anxiety disorders can be a huge cause of shame. Because we can mistakenly think, if I were a better Christian, if I were a better follower of Jesus, then I wouldn't be dealing with this issue. Or people are going to think that I'm weak if they know that I have this in my life, that I'm struggling with this, that I don't have it all together. But listen, God doesn't want you suffering in the dark of an anxiety disorder. He loves you. And he wants you to know that you're not alone, that he's right there, you know, that you don't have to shoulder that all by yourself. I mentioned earlier that King David, he faced a lot of anxiety in his life. But he didn't keep it in the dark. He brought it out into the light. He brought it to God in prayer. Now look at this powerful prayer from David in Psalm chapter 55. He's talking to God. David says, please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. Kind of feels like an extreme anxiety, doesn't it? Then he continues, my heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Have you ever been there before? Maybe you're even there right now, and you know what it's like to feel like you're overwhelmed by your troubles, that your heart just feels like it's pounding all the time. Then it says in verse 22, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. If you'll take it to him. So I want you to know that you can take your burdens and anxiety to the Lord, that he will take care of you. He's not going to let you drown your anxiety if you will partner with him in handling this challenge. And sometimes the anxiety is so severe that God will provide a solution by bringing the right person into your life to help you navigate your way through the mess. Maybe it's a Christian friend. Maybe it's someone that you meet in your growth group, or maybe it's someone like Laura Messimer. You know, a Christian counselor who helps bring a hidden anxiety to light and helps you process that in a biblical way. So I want you to know, if you are dealing with extreme anxiety right now, if it's an anxiety disorder, you know, and you would like to talk to a Christian counselor, would you just put on your connection card, the one that you put in the offering plate, just put on there, Christian counselor. And I will send you the contact information for Laura. You know, she counsels at the Treeside Psychological Clinic in Lake Orion. I'll also put the contact information for Paul Alexander. You know, he counsels with the Samaritan Counseling Center. He does that right here at church on Mondays and sometimes on Fridays, both in the evenings. But there's nothing bad about finding help, especially with something when it's that big in your life. Counselor can just make an amazing difference as they help you process what you're going through. All right, here's the final level of anxiety, and this level is important because it really has eternal implications. Level 4, that's delight in Jesus' love for me to escape eternal anxiety. Delight in Jesus' love for me to escape eternal anxiety. This is one I want to spend a little bit of extra time with, because there's just too many people who are stuck in this challenge of having anxiety about what's going to happen to you after you die. Of all the root causes of our anxiety, the one we probably struggle with the most is just anxiety about the future, and specifically what's going to happen to you after you die. And typically, the older you get, the more anxious you'll feel, because you're coming closer to that uncertainty about eternity. And a lot of people deal with this by avoiding the topic of death altogether, as if ignoring death is going to keep it from coming. But as far as I know, the stats on the certainty of death is still 100% for all of us. One day you will die. And if you want to avoid the anxiety that you feel about what will happen after I die, you need to come to terms with it and be prepared for it. And the Bible is clear. There are two possible destinations after you die. For those who have a personal relationship with Jesus, you've asked for forgiveness of your sins, you've placed your trust in what Jesus did on the cross, and you've picked up your own cross, died to sin, and are living your life for God through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who continue in this daily relationship with God, our eternal destination, the Bible promises, is heaven. And for those who don't have this relationship with Jesus, your eternal destination is hell. But many people, including Christians, live with anxiety about this. There's some of you who today, you've made your decision to trust Jesus as your Savior. You read the Bible. You talk to Jesus every day. You do your best to follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. But you're still dealing with some anxiety about death. About, am I really going to go to heaven after I die? You're afraid that maybe something you did in the past is going to somehow disqualify you from getting into heaven. Or that somehow you're not doing enough. Almost as if you got to earn it every day over and over again. That even though that Jesus has forgiven you, somehow that might not be enough for you personally. You know, you feel like God's disappointed in you. And so you're anxiously work to try to be a good person, to try to make up for all the bad that you've done. But you're never really certain if it's enough to please God. And so let me just say this as succinctly as possible. Salvation is not about doing enough. Salvation isn't something that you can earn. It's a free gift of God. It's what Jesus has already done for you on the cross. You have to accept it. Now, I believe, and John Wesley taught, that you can lose your salvation. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. But willful sin, Paul calls it sin that leads to death, can still separate you from eternity. So how do you know for sure that we're going to heaven? So that I can stop being anxious about it and simply trust Jesus' forgiveness. Well, Jesus was very specific about it. Every day, you choose to pick up your cross, die to yourself, and live for God. Every day, You examine how yesterday went. You confess anything that maybe you did that missed the mark of God's will for your life, and you recommit to this life of holiness for today. Every day you strive to stay connected to God throughout the day. Every day seeing life is this grand adventure where God is right with you. He can ask you to do anything, say anything, go anywhere, and your answer is already yes. God, send me, use me, I'm available to you. When you have that vibrant relationship with the Almighty God, then you will find Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39 to be true for you. It says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears or anxieties for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing at all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus. And here's the key, our Lord. When Jesus is your Lord, when he has all of you, nothing can separate you from the love of God that's been given to you through Jesus Christ. Okay, so the important question is, what causes Jesus not to be your Lord? What causes the person who has been forgiven of their sin in the past to hear words at eternity's door, get away from me, I never knew you? Unconfessed, willful sin in the present. That's what can separate us from God. Now, God's grace is greater than we think. But sin, unconfessed, over a period of time will eventually break that relationship. So living a life where you go to church on Sunday and you're praising God, but then Monday through Saturday, living like the world, you know, that separates us from God. Living a life where God asks you to do some hard stuff, instead of saying, yes, I'll do it with your help, you say, oh, God, I can't do that. I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I'm too scary. That's too hard. I'm too shy. I don't know what I'd say. I don't have enough resources. And so you say no. And now you've begun breaking your relationship with God, because now there's disobedience and God works with us. But eventually that can break that relationship. Because of lack of faith in God being able to do hard things through you. And so you don't have this authentic relationship with God. You just have a knowledge about God, and God does not know you. So the question I have for you then is, do you have a fear over where you'll spend eternity? If you do, then what's causing that fear? And so I want to just kind of break that down for just a bit. Have you given your life to Jesus and asked for forgiveness of your sins from your past? If you haven't done that, then we're going to take care of that in a moment. If you have, then are there any willful sins in your life? Sin that you know God wanted you to either do something, say something, go somewhere, and you said, no, God, I can't do that. Or God did not want you to do something, say something, go somewhere, and you did it anyway. You chose to go against God's will for your life. If there is, then we're going to pray about that in just a moment. If you've asked God to forgive you of your sins, and you don't have any willful sin that you need to confess, at least that you know about, then have you picked up your cross, choosing to die to yourself and what you want, and you living your way of life, and given everything to him, everything you are to Jesus? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Do you connect with God every day through prayer? It's connecting with him throughout the day, daily reading or listening to your Bible. Do you have this active daily relationship with Jesus where you're getting to know him better and he's getting to know you? If not, then we'll pray about that in just a moment. Okay? If you have asked for forgiveness of your past sins, if you don't have any willful sin that needs to be confessed, if you have this daily relationship with Jesus where he is Lord of your life, then do you still have anxiety about where you'll spend eternity? If you do, then the root of your anxiety is either a lack of trust in God or a lack of trust in yourself. Either your faith needs some bolstering, In God's promise that if you remain in Him, He will remain in you. Or you're struggling with pride, and you don't believe enough in yourself to live out what you're already doing right now. And so you're in this spiritual warfare with Satan. And your shield of faith is missing some of those fiery darts of accusation. And this is where each of us need to learn how to stand in your faith. You are God's child. You have a daily relationship, moment by moment, knowledge of God. God knows you. You have revealed your heart to Him. You have let Him have all of you. Your eternity is secure. You are connected to the vine, and the vine is connected to you. So stand in that truth. Trust in that truth. Be secure in that knowledge and let that reality of your salvation, your relationship with God, let that be your joy and your strength. And so our final verse is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. These are the words of Jesus. I want us to read this out loud together. This just starts with the words, "Come to me." If we could put that verse up to there. All right, let's read this verse together. Then Jesus said, ready? Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us, and especially for those who are suffering under the weight of anxiety right now. May we put our trust and hope in you and experience your peace and your power instead of fear and worry and anxiety. And especially if there's anyone who's living with eternal anxiety right now, because you just don't know if something were to happen to you where you would spend eternity. I pray that each person, no matter what it is, where the anxiety is coming from, that we would open our hearts to you right now. And listen, if that's you, if you're ready to begin this journey, you haven't started the journey of being a Christian yet, and you're ready, this is the time, you're ready to give your life to Jesus. You're ready to have a fresh start. Would you just pray this simple prayer with me, just inside your heart, as I pray the words out loud? Would you just say, "Jesus, today I put my faith in you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have a purpose in living, so that I could have a home in heaven. So Jesus, today I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you from this day forward as the leader of my life in the fellowship of your church." And as we continue praying, if you prayed that prayer to start or renew your relationship with Jesus, we all celebrate that with you. If there's someone, though, who's struggling with some anxiety about your eternity, and you have already asked God to forgive you of your past sins, but you know that you have some willful sins that you need to deal with recently, where God has either asked you to do something or not do something, and you said no to God, if you'd like to take this moment to make that right, would you just say these words in your heart as I pray these words out loud? "Jesus, I confess to you that I have made a willful decision to say no to you, to do the opposite of what you were guiding me into or away from. Forgive me of my pride and my stubbornness, to not have enough faith in you to say yes to what you are calling me to. I commit to make that right today. I commit to step into that situation that you've been calling me to in Jesus' name." And as we continue praying, if you prayed that prayer and you would like me as your pastor to help hold you accountable to this, just write that on your Connect card or send me a text message or an email, and I'll be praying for you and encouraging you as you take these steps of faith to make this right. And as we continue praying, you know, maybe today you you've already asked God to forgive you of your past sins, and you don't have any willful sins that you know about right now that need to be confessed. Jesus is the Lord of your life. But you're still struggling with some anxiety about your eternal destination. You're still struggling with some doubt. If this is you, would you pray these words in your heart as I pray them out loud? And just say, Jesus, you are my Savior, and you are my Lord. I have given everything I know to give you, but yet I have this anxiety about the security of my salvation. Forgive me of my doubt. Strengthen my faith in you. Help me to stand on the promises of the Bible that if I remain in you, you will remain in me. That if I do your will, I will enter your kingdom in heaven. I choose today to cast all my cares, all my anxieties on you. In Jesus' name. And for all of us, God, we thank you that you care about our issues in life. You understand our challenges that can be so overwhelming. May we all choose to pray over the temptation to worry. May we choose to cast our cares, our worries, our anxieties on you and trust in your providence. Trust in your love and trust in your power. Jesus, we believe. Help our unbelief. May anyone who struggles with anxiety sense God's presence in a fresh and real way as we leave this worship service. Oh, I pray this in Jesus' precious, powerful name. Amen.